Amen. You know, it says something about a person when they make the extra effort to come for a Wednesday night service. Amen. That means you get the good stuff. I mean, you get the rich, fulfilling, good stuff. Because, listen, God looks for hunger. You know, you're here because you're hungry. Amen? And praise the Lord. Well, we're talking about the blessing of our inheritance. I want you to turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 27. And of course, we thank you for your faithfulness to give of your tithes and your offerings. That's important to this body and to the Lord. Amen? Amen. And there may be times when the Lord leads you to give extra, and when he does, he's got a blessing on his mind. So just be faithful to obey that. And see, God's got promises for me. Now, he can tell you about his promises. He can show you his promises, but you have to possess his promises. Amen? Whether or not his promises are a reality in your life is up to you. It's just like the land of Canaan. God said, I've given you the land. Here it is. He said, go in and possess it. Right? God gave him the land. He said that time and time again to the Israelites. But they had to go in and they had to be the ones to possess what he already had given them. Amen? And the action that you take to possess what God promised you, that's faith. Okay? And there's a story here in Numbers 27 about a group of women that weren't included in the promises. And they said, that's not right. We want what's ours. And you know what? God gave it to them. Let's read this story here in Numbers 27. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters, Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. Boy, can you imagine having a daughter, Tirzah Pishka? That'd be a mouthful, wouldn't it? And they stood before Moses. Now, I want to say something too. Did you know that the tribe of Reuben was the firstborn of Jacob, right? But you know that Reuben got disqualified from his inheritance because he messed around with Jacob's concubine. And what Reuben's portion was given to Manasseh and Ephraim, the sons of Joseph. In other words, Joseph, who was down at the last, became the first. Amen? So if you don't like your position of inheritance, you can change your position. Amen? By your faithfulness. Okay, here's what they did. They stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes and all the congregation. See, they weren't afraid to make a public declaration. Sometimes God wants to see your faith on the line. Amen? And, you know, the Bible says that if you don't confess me before men, the Lord said that he won't confess us before the Father. Okay? So when you want something that God has, that God has already given, you've got to go after it. You can't be afraid to declare it publicly. You can't be afraid to take possession of it and stand your ground. Okay? So they stood before Moses, the priest, the princes, and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, verse 3, our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. So here, it was tradition, it was law for the sons to get the property of the father. okay? Here they're daughters, all right? And by their gender, they would have been disqualified. But you know what? They weren't going to settle for that. See, man, I'd say, I don't have to settle. Okay? So they laid their case. They said their father died in the wilderness. He wasn't part of Korah, but he died in his own sin. He had his own issues. Okay? Why should the name, verse 4, why should the name of our father be done away from among his family? Because he has no son. Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. Okay? They were demanding their rights. They were demanding their inheritance. How many know that you can put a demand on the anointing? When you have a need in your life, when something is lacking in your life, you can put a demand on what God said about that. And you can draw power from God to make that a reality in your life. Okay? Now notice, Moses brought their case before the Lord. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. How many know that when you go after what God promised, God is pleased? God loves it when his children pursue his promises. Okay? You shall surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren, and you shall cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. And you shall speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and have no son, then you shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. Do you realize there was not a statute prior to this? But when you make a demand on God's word, on his promises, God will move heaven and earth to act on your behalf. And because these ladies, they demanded their inheritance, that God established a new statute. In other words, there wasn't a statute that had existed before, but until someone made a demand, that's when God brought it to pass. Okay? And if he have no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance unto his brethren. And if he have no brethren, then you shall give his inheritance unto his father's brethren. Let me tell you something. Your inheritance is going to go to someone, so it might as well go to you. Amen? And if his father have no brethren, then you shall give his inheritance unto his kinsman that is next to him. How many know that Boaz was a kinsman redeemer of his family, and he shall possess it, and it shall be unto the children of Israel a statute of judgment as the Lord commanded Moses. So these ladies saw that they didn't have an inheritance, and they weren't going to settle for not having an inheritance. I don't think so. I'm going to have an inheritance. And they went before Moses, they went before the priest, they went before the people, and the Lord said what they said was right. Therefore, the Lord gave them an inheritance. Can you say amen? Don't let anything stop you from getting what God promised you. You've got to get it in your mind that whatever God promised you is yours. In other words, you have a right to possess it. You have a right to claim it. You have a right to take it as yours. And don't let anything stop you. If it's a person, if it's a circumstance, I don't care. You make up your mind that nothing's going to stop you from, say this with me, say nothing is going to keep me from possessing what God promised. Amen? What God promised, he wants you to have. Otherwise, he wouldn't have promised you. Remember when Jesus left this earth? He told his disciples, he said, I go prepare a place for you. He said, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. See, if God didn't want you to have it, then he wouldn't have put it in his word. But because he put it in his word, he's just waiting for faith to come along and grab a hold of it. Because faith, it sees the promise of God, it grabs a hold of it, and it brings it into the realm of reality. Okay? Now, we were talking about God's promises, the characteristics of God's promises last week, and we said that his promises are unfailing. You can rely on God's word, you can stand on God's word, because not one word that God said will fail, has ever failed, or is going to fail in the future. Because God said himself, he said, I am the Lord God, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say, God is the same. Amen? He's the same throughout all the ages. You know, just as a reference, you don't have to turn there, but 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 56 and 57, it talked about, blessed be the Lord who has given us rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of his good promise. There has not failed one word of his good promise. God's word is not going to fail. Matter of fact, he said, heaven and earth are going to pass away, but what's going to still be around? His word. That means you can rely on his word. You can trust his word. You can stand on his word. His word will defend you. Amen? Now let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verses 36 and 37. Notice what God told Mary. He said, and behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. Say, in her old age. Is it possible for a woman to conceive in her old age? Physically, is it possible? I mean, once a lady gets to a certain point, conception is done. Right? Unless you get a hold of a promise. Now, maybe you went through life and you never had any kids, but you decided, I want a kid. You can grab a hold of God's promise and you can latch on to it, and things will begin to change. Because not one word from God fails. Notice what he said, verse 37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Do you believe that? Do you believe that nothing shall be impossible? Notice, though, with God. I mean, if you're with someone else, it might be impossible. But when you're with God, when you're on God's side, when you're in agreement with God, nothing is impossible. That's good news, isn't it? God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 32, 27, he said, there is nothing too hard for you. He said, he talked about his great power and his outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for God. Go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. We're talking, you know, God's promises are backed up by his divine ability. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. This was a man's son had a demon and kept throwing him into the fire. And his disciples tried to cast him out, but prior to casting him out, they were arguing about who is the greatest. You know, when you argue about who is the greatest, you don't have power to cast out demons. So be careful what you argue about. You don't want to short-circuit God's power. And verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Who is it that has impossibilities made possible? To whom are things become possible? You got to be a believer. If you're not a believer, then you will experience impossibilities. But notice what Jesus said. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And the Father, he cried out, he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And what happened? Didn't the boy get delivered? Because they brought him to Jesus. You know, maybe the father didn't have as strong as faith as he needed, but he, you know what? He was open to strengthen his faith. He was making a decision to take Jesus at his word. And that's what we got to do today. You got to just take Jesus at his word. What he said is true. What he said is possible. What he said is yours. If he didn't want you to have it, he wouldn't have said it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? See, if God didn't want you to have it, he wouldn't say it, because if he doesn't say it, you can't have faith in it. Did you know you can't have faith in anything that God doesn't say? Because faith comes by hearing his word. Whether it's written on the pages or it's spoken to you directly. Okay? Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. This is a characteristic of God's promise. God's power is unlimited. Do you believe that? So that means that you're never up against a situation that God can't handle. You're never faced with an insurmountable obstacle. There's no obstacle that God can't get through or get across or get over. Philippians chapter 3, and verse 21, he says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? So if your body's not working the way it should, don't you think that God, listen, God's a plumber. If your pipes aren't working good, he knows how to fix them. God created your body. He knows how he designed your body. He knows what your body was designed to do. And it's by his working inside of you. He gets in you and he makes adjustments. Maybe he replaces a few things. You know, we see it throughout Jesus' ministry. It didn't matter if a guy was lame, or if he had a withered hand, or if he couldn't talk, or if he couldn't see, God's power got into him because they believed. And it changed what was into what he said it would be. God changed blindness into seeing. Okay? Well, you know, Christ is the mediator of God's promises. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Aren't you glad that you have an advocate that can represent you when it comes to God's promises? You know what? You don't necessarily have to understand the promises, but you can understand the mediator. He can communicate it to you. He can bring understanding to us. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 20, for all the promises of God, is he leaving any promise out? This is something true of all the promises of God. In him, Because Christ is the mediator. Christ is the means by which the promise comes to us. Okay? Like, just like your key started your car or your vehicle, didn't it? You know, unless you know how to hotwire a vehicle, that key was required to start your vehicle and to get it here. Well, Christ is the key to God's promises. Okay? For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, did you notice that God's promises aren't no? God's promises are yes and amen. What does amen mean? We say amen when there's a good point. We say amen. What does it mean? It means so be it. So God's promises are yes and amen. Can I have this God? If he promised it, his answer is yes. If he gave it to you, his answer is so be it. Let it be in you. How does the promise be in you? It comes through your faith. What you believe. Your belief hooks up to what God said. When you believe what God said, you act like what he said is true. That's why the lame man could pick up his bed and walk, because the word spoke to him and said, pick up your bed and walk. He believed what was told him, and he simply picked up his bed and walked. Even prior to hearing that, he couldn't. The word that he heard changed his circumstance. Not just the word that he heard, but he actually believed it because he acted on it. If you're lame and can't walk, and Jesus comes by you and says, pick up your mat and walk, and your simple act of faith is to do what he said. You don't, see, when the minute God spoke his word, you can't say, well, I hope my body's going to respond. No. You've got to believe what he said. You've got to believe that, pick up your bed and walk. Even though prior to hearing that, you couldn't. Prior to hearing that, your body was malfunctioning. Your body was lame. It didn't work. It was paralyzed. What changed? What you heard. And what you heard changed what you did. And when you change what you hear and you change what you do, because you're doing based on what you're hearing now, guess what? When you do that, your circumstances will change. Can you say amen? Now he goes on to say, so all the promises of God in him are yea and amen unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Did God anoint you? If you have the name Christian, then you're anointed, because Christ means the anointed one. If you have Christ in you, then you have the anointing in you. Then you are anointed. Anointed simply means you're empowered, you're enabled, you can do it. Say, I'm anointed. Do you believe that you're anointed? Then because you're anointed, don't ever act like you're defeated. If you act like you're defeated, you're going against the anointing that you have. See, David was anointed. He knew he was anointed. And upon coming to the battlefield, he heard what Goliath said, and he said, I don't think so. The whole Israel army was not anointed. Why? Because they did what the anointing, they did the opposite of what the anointing would cause them to do. They stood there in fear. They trembled. They worried. They were concerned. They didn't move. They didn't act. In other words, the whole Israel army had dead faith. Because faith without works is what? Dead. So it took this young boy who walks onto the battlefield. He knew that he was anointed. How did he speak? He spoke like he was anointed. He acted like he was anointed. What happened? The anointing was magnified in him, and he killed the giant. So you cannot speak and act differently than what the word says. Otherwise, you short-circuit the power. verse 22, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Notice it's Christ who establishes you. It's Christ who anoints you. And it's Christ who seals you. He gave you his Spirit. In other words, you have all the equipment you need to succeed. Say, I cannot fail. The only time we fail is when we get into doubt and unbelief. When we don't believe what God said. All of us are faced with that. God tells you something. Whatever God tells you, you got to make a decision. Are you going to believe it and do it or not? If you don't do it, if you don't believe it and you don't do it, it won't affect you. How many want to prosper? I mean, did people in the Bible actually prosper? I mean, Abraham prospered so much that in Genesis 13, it said the Lord made Abram rich. It said Abram was very rich. Well, what did Abraham do to become very rich? Was he a smart, top-notch businessman? He walked in obedience to God. So if you want to prosper in God's kingdom, you better consider yourself a giver. You better, that when opportunity presents itself to give, you better check your attitude as to how you respond to that opportunity. Because if you want to invoke the anointing to prosper, then God prospers us through our giving. Now, in the natural, in the world, that doesn't make sense. Because that's not what happens in the world. But in God's kingdom is run differently than the world. So the way to get higher is to go down. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and what? He will exalt you. But in the world, it's all about self-promotion. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. See, Christ wants you blessed. He wants you to experience the benefits. He wants to be able to take a dump truck to you daily and load his benefits on you. He wants you blessed going out and coming in. You read Deuteronomy 28. He wants you blessed in the city and in the field. You can be blessed in Palmyra and you can be blessed in the jungle of Africa. Why? Because the blessing is on you. It's the blessing that brings increase. So when the blessing is on you, it doesn't matter where you are. As long as you're not like Jonah, where, you know, sometimes your blessing is scheduled at the place of assignment. So if you're not where you're assigned to be, you're not going to get the blessing. Jonah's blessing was in Nineveh, but he decided to go to Tarshish. Instead of the blessing, he got trouble. Because he was where God told him not to be. If you go against what God said, you're going to have to unload all your cargo and you're going to lose everything. You're going to experience loss. Okay, Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 15. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. What kind of inheritance does Christ want you to have? An eternal inheritance. That means God's goodness never stops. You know what? God's got enough goodness to be good to you today, tomorrow, the next week, the next month, the next year, and years from now. Now, if you want to keep God's goodness flowing, you got to make sure that you're staying on the path that He has for you. Because when you get off the path, you short-circuit the blessings. And God will always lead you step by step. Abraham, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your father's house, and I want you to leave your family. And go where I tell you to go, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will make you a blessing so that I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. Anybody that blesses you, I will bless. But if they mess with you, if they curse you, I will curse them. So, do we know that Abraham believed God? Yes, because what did he do? He started walking. And he went where God told him to go. He would pitch his tent in the wilderness. He walked through that wilderness. And you know why God led him through the wilderness? Because he wanted the Israelites to inherit that wilderness. Because if God gives you a desert, God can make that desert blossom. And you ought to read about the advances that Israel has made in agriculture in dry, arid climates. God is literally making a desert the fruitful field. But Jesus is a mediator of a new and better covenant. Amen? He included you in his will, and he wants you to have what he promised you. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go to verse 36. How are you going to inherit God's promises? It's going to take two things: faith and patience. Verse 36, for you have need of patience or endurance. How many know that the promises of God don't always manifest themselves today? That doesn't mean that you don't own them. That doesn't mean that they're yours. But how many know it took 25 years for Abraham to walk in the promise that he was going to be a father? The question is, do you have enough in you to endure when it doesn't look like what God said is coming to pass? Or are you going to give in to complaining, murmuring, and grumbling about how come God doesn't do it for me? He did it for her. How come he doesn't do it for me? Well, that's your problem right there, because you're looking at people and not God. You are never supposed to compare yourself with other people. Number one, you don't know what's in their heart. Number two, you don't know what God spoke to them. So you can never compare yourself with people. Set yourself free from that right now. People are not your standard. If I was to compare myself with other ministers, when I was at Lee, I thought every minister sang, because every minister I heard sang. I thought, well, my goodness, I must not be called. I can't sing. But that's craziness. See, if you let yourself think like that, don't compare yourself with people. You just look to the mirror. Your only comparison should be, are you doing what the mirror is telling you? How do you look in the mirror? If God told you this, are you doing it? And if you're not doing it, why aren't you doing it? What do you need to change to start doing it? You know, God puts so much faith in His Word that He considers giving you an instruction sufficient evidence to do what He said to do. I mean, God doesn't come down and show, He doesn't give you a manual. You're not going to get a manual in your mailbox tomorrow saying, step one, step two, step three, step four. God said, do this, He expects you to do it. What God gave you, He expects you to use. Through faith and patience, you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Oh, you mean you got to do the will of God? Part of you possessing the promise is doing God's will. You mean if you don't do God's will, you're not going to get the promise? Absolutely. See, if you want the promise, you gotta put your will at the door check. You know, like when, the coat check. When you go to a place and they check your coat, they take your coat and they give you a tag. When you go, then you don't have to worry about your coat. You don't have to carry your coat with you. It's put away. But it's there for safekeeping. You need patience. Because part of doing God's will, you're going to encounter challenges. You're going to encounter tests. You're going to go through trials. And how you respond will determine whether or not you get the promise. Let me ask you something. How many Israelites failed to get the promise of the promised land? Because they died in the wilderness. Those who died, they didn't believe God. Even though they saw the miracles, but God never said, the just shall live by miracles. The just shall live by faith. What if you've never experienced a miracle in your life? Would you still believe God? See, that's really what it boils down to. You know, God wants some people who will adhere to Him. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Is it possible to draw back? Absolutely. That's a scripture right there that disproves once saved, always saved. Well, if they draw back, they were never saved. No, they just got carnal. Do you know that you could, you're a three-part being. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Your soul consists of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Okay? But you are a spirit. What part of you is born again? Your spirit, the hidden man of the heart, the real you. So, is your flesh born again? What do you have to do with your flesh? You got to keep it under. Why? Because your flesh will resist what your spirit wants. What your flesh wants is different than what your spirit wants. And which one you cater to most will determine the results that you're getting in life. The things of God don't come naturally. The Bible says the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness to him. Doesn't it say that? But the things that God says have to be spiritually discerned. You have to receive it in your spirit. That's why the Bible tells us to meditate on God's Word. The more you think about God's Word, the more you ponder God's Word, the more you go over God's Word, the greater it will get in you. And the greater that God's word gets in you, the better results you have. The quicker results you have. See, Jesus, everything he said happened. Because, first of all, he was without sin. He had no interference from the sin nature mixing in with his faith. Now, he was tempted. He was tempted just like we are, but he said no. He resisted the temptation. He did not give in to the temptation. He did not do the temptation. Therefore, he had such great power and authority that when he spoke, things happened immediately. We can get like that. But that's going to require discipline. That's going to require, you know what? The more we eliminate distractions, the more things that we can do for God. We have a lot of distractions in our world today. There's 1,000 ways that you can communicate. All right? Verse 39. This is good news. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. In other words, we are people that stick with what God said. I'm going to stick with what God said, even in the face of everything different. See, the Israelites in the wilderness, they were distracted by giants, by the walled cities, by the fact that, you know, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. You don't want to have a grasshopper complex. God did not make you a grasshopper. Yes, young grasshopper. If you can snatch this Bible from my hand, you will have. You're not a grasshopper. You're a giant killer. So that means I don't care how big your enemy looks. I don't care how strong he seems. I don't care how big his forces are. You can conquer them. Because you got to know that they that be with you are more than be with them. But see, here's the thing. You got to walk in this knowledge. You can't just visit this occasionally. You can't think of yourself as a giant killer on Friday and defeated on Monday. Because one thing about faith is consistent. Faith is steady. Faith is firm. So you've got to go with what God promised in spite of how you feel, what other people say, anything else. If something contradicts God's word, then you contradict it. And I don't care. Look at those daughters. They could have been depressed because their father died in sin. They could have just sat and did nothing. But thank God that they have enough guts to speak up. You know, it's like 2 Kings chapter 4. There were 4 lepers. The city was surrounded. And the enemy forces cut off all supplies to the city. And there were 4 lepers who were outside the city. And they didn't have any food. They had no means of getting food. And the city was shut up because it was surrounded. And what did they say? They said, why should we sit here until we die? We might as well just get up and do something. How many know that doing something is better than doing nothing? And so they just decided to get up and take some steps. God, you just may need to take a step. And God will meet that step. What happened was, when those 4 lepers decided to take a step, God made their steps sound like an enormous army. And it so scared the invading army that they left everything. Everything in their tents, all their stuff, they just left and hightailed it out of there. Because 4 lepers decided to do something. And what happened was, they found, it took them 3 days. They had so much spoil, so much extra stuff, that they went and told the king, what had happened because they didn't want to keep all the stuff to themselves. But it was fulfilling a prophecy because that's exactly what the prophet said would happen. You know, the economy changed when the lepers decided to get up and do something. Maybe that's what you need to do tonight. Take one more step closer to what God promised. Just take a step. Just say in your heart and say with your mouth that what God said is true and I'm going to believe God. What has God said about you? Think about the things that you've heard about you that God said to you. They're true. And God wants you to be what he says about you. He wants you to be more than a conqueror. He wants you to overcome fear. Because when perfect love comes into you, fear gets cast out of your life. He wants you to succeed. Irregardless of what anybody has ever told you that you couldn't do, whatever God said you could do, go with that. Disregard the junk and the lies that Satan's told you and get a hold of what God told you and start walking it. And I'm going to close with this. Back in the 90s, God gave me a promise. That promise was in the form of a scripture. When God gave it to me, I had no idea what it meant. But you know what? I took a step. I wrote something near that scripture. In the Bible that I had at the time, I put Pastor Pishka's ministry. That scripture was Galatians 3:29. I was sitting in a class in a Bible school, and we read that scripture, and all of a sudden, it was like that scripture came alive and jumped off the page and said, "Here I am, here I am, look at me, look at me." And even though I didn't understand what it all meant, I kept it in my heart. I kept reminding myself of it. I kept speaking over it. I kept praying about it. Guess what? That scripture that I hid in my heart in 1991, you're seeing the results of it today. Because, see, there was no time limit. God gave it to me, and he wanted me to embrace it. He wanted me to do something with it. And out of that, I wrote a vision. And that vision is what we're doing today. That vision has been going on for the last 11 years, since 1996. Because God is a good God. And he wants you to possess whatever he told you that you could have. How many believe that with long life will I satisfy you, says the Lord? Well, if you believe that, then you should eliminate any discussion about short life. Isn't that true? If God gave you an assignment, if he asked you to do something, then start doing it. There should be no more delays. If you don't understand what he said, talk to him. He will explain it. He said, "I will teach you to do my will." There is no excuse for inactivity regarding God's promises. Well, what's it going to be like when we get to heaven? Oh, Doug, this is what I wanted you to have, but because you didn't do anything, this is what you get. You could have had so much more, but why'd you settle for less? Why did you not put any value on what I said? Think about it. God's got so much more for us. Well, if you believe God, I want you to stand up. And I want you to think about some of the things that God has spoken to you. And you know if you're doing them or not. And if you're not doing them, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make an adjustment in your heart right now. How many has ever changed a dial on a TV? Or you've changed a dial on a radio? If you've changed a dial on a radio, and if you've changed a dial on a TV, then you can change your attitude just as easy. Amen? So, Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you tonight on this Wednesday, October 16th, 2013. And, Father, we make adjustments in how we think about ourselves, in how we view your promises. And, Lord, we ask you to forgive us for the mistakes that we've made. And guess what? As of this moment, those mistakes are under the blood. So forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. All the mistakes are in the past. The mistakes are done. They're covered. They're buried in the blood. Now you have a new moment and a fresh anointing. God, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you invigorate us with strength right now. As we wait upon you, Lord, we shall be strengthened. Our strength shall be renewed. We shall mount up with wings of eagles, and we shall run and not be weary, and we shall walk and not faint in the name of Jesus. So you make that decision that from this day forward, everything that you learn, everything that you hear that is yours, you're going to have a new invigorated strength to possess it and to walk in it and to be it and to do it and to have it. You have it right now. You've been given access right now because Jesus Christ is your mediator. He's done everything necessary for you to have it. Now it's the time to possess it and to take ownership of it and to walk in it. When you're sick in your body, you don't talk about the sickness. Eliminate sick talk. Now you may have to change sick thoughts. Start talking healthy talk. Start talking life talk. Some of you are going to have to you're going to have to be like salmon who are going to spawn. You're going to have to swim upstream from the negativity in your life. Those negative words that the enemy's used against you has tried to keep you down, but you're coming out of the box of negativity today. Today you're going to leave. Say negativity, eat my dust. That means you're going to leave it behind. You're going to zoom forward. You're going to make progress over it. You got to see yourself as a champion. From this moment forth, the Word of God rules your thoughts, your words, and your actions. And when your words, thoughts, and actions don't line up with the Word, you repent quickly. You make an adjustment speedily. And we're going to walk in the greatness that God has for us. Amen? You were destined to possess promises. You're going to experience the reality of those promises. You can have a debt-free. You can have debt freedom. Because God will help you eliminate debt. So don't let the weight of debt, don't let it be a weight on you. You cast that care to God because he has a way out from underneath it. Amen? That's God speaking to you. Why? Because all things are possible with him who believe. You can be totally healed in your body. Because people in the Bible were. And he's no respecter of persons. as of this moment, God is your healer. How are you doing? Oh, the Lord is my healer. Hallelujah. How's that thing in your body? Oh, the Lord is my healer. You're not saying a lie, you're because you're speaking the truth. That's what his word says. If his word says it, it's yours. That's how you got to approach it. Personalize God's word. I can't tell you how many times over the last 20 years I've talked about, I've thought about, I spoke about inheriting God's promises and experiencing their benefits. And now I'm on the other side. I'm walking in it. I'm doing what I said. Amen? We're going to see a difference. Tonight, Father, let this be a memorable night tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, this word did not go on hard hearts or deaf ears. But Lord, this word went into good ground, and it shall produce 100-fold in the name of Jesus. And Father, if there's anything else that you want to add, we just wait on you for a moment. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't have any particular sense for that, but listen, just take God at his word. Amen.